Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I'm here to refresh you today with the good news of God's Word. You don't have to go very far to find bad news. People trying to manipulate your emotions and things like that with negative and exaggerated stories. So today, I want to reassure you today that God is on the throne. No matter what type of issue that you may be facing in your life, He is our deliverer. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our coming King. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. He is the Ancient of Days. He is our soon and coming King. I tell you today that you and I do not have to live in fear, that we can live in faith instead. So I want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM and choosing to spend the next half hour with us. We're going to be in Psalm 22 today. Psalm 22. And we left off yesterday at the end of verse number 19. And so let me pick it up at verse number 19 and read down through verse number 21 for you. While you're making notations of that or turning to that or clicking on your smartphone, let me be the first to invite you to our services this coming Sunday. We would love to have you come and visit with us. We had a lady that visited here not too long ago, and she encountered one of the people that she saw at church out in the community and told that lady how much the service meant to her. And so we could be the place that God would have you to fit in the body of Christ and serve for His glory and for His praise. And so we'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. You know, God is certainly good. And so we had our business meeting here about 10 days or so ago and celebrating what God did in 2019, but still realizing that we have an unfinished task. There was a friend of mine's dad. He served as the foreign missions director for the Assemblies of God. I believe that was his title, and world missions director. And he is quoted as having made this statement: "Let us never" evaluate ourselves by anything other than the size of the unfinished task. And we have a huge unfinished task in reaching billions of people who do not know that Jesus loves them and wants them to have everlasting life. So if you would like to help us in getting that news out, we would love to have you come and join us at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, Sunday school 9:30, worship service at 10:30, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. Verse number 19, Psalm 22 says, "But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me." So we've got to remember to keep our focus where God wants us to fix our thoughts, our minds, our attention, instead of where the world does. The world wants us to be sidetracked and distracted by the cares of this world. He wants us to fixate on the problems that we face. But David here in this psalm says, "You, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to my help." So he lifted his eyes up from the opposition that he was facing to fixate on God, his strength and his help, who will rush to his defense. And so I want you to know that the same God that rushed to David's defense will be the same God who rushes to your defense. He is your strength. You are not going to be overpowered by the enemy. I pray that we realize and recognize the strength of Almighty God, the omnipotent God. Listen, if he had no problem resolving the rebellion of Lucifer and one-third of the angels in heaven, there's not going to be a problem that he's not going to be able to deal with in your life. I'm here to build up your faith today. I'm here, while building up your faith, I'm wanting to undermine the spirit of fear that tends to arise in people's hearts and lives. But when the salesmen of fear or the messengers of fear do such a massive job of trying to intimidate and cause people to lose confidence. He says here in verse number 20, deliver me from the sword. Okay. There are four things that are mentioned in verse 20 and 21 that David faced in opposition. The first one was the sword in verse number 20. The second one is mentioned as the power of the dog. The third one is the lion's mouth. And the fourth one, the horns of the wild oxen. Every one of those things can be life-threatening. Every one of those things could be lethal. You know, you look at it and you'd say, well, a cute little dog wouldn't hurt me. No, but I said here on a program recently, you know, I'm a dog person, and yet I had a dog that came and attacked me without even getting to know me, and I was like out in the middle of the street. I wasn't anywhere near, but you know, their job is to protect, and so that dog was trying to protect a territory he didn't know where his boundaries were. I want you to know that the enemy sometimes intentionally forgets that we're children of the living God. He has no jurisdiction. We don't want to grant him jurisdiction in our life. We need to walk in the authority that Jesus has given to us. So I will tell you that many times the solution is exactly the opposite of what most of the people are doing. You know, we have come to recognize and value our first responders, people who by their training, by their experience, and by their responsibility, when a situation occurs that would compel many people to run away from the problem, these people have an adverse reaction, and that is they run to the problem to bring about rescue and resolution, and we call them heroes. Today, I want to challenge you that there are some heroes of the faith. The world kind of looks at Christians as the weak of society, people who need a crutch. They don't realize that we're completely and totally reliant upon God. It's not just us. Everybody needs Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But we are not just the rejects of society many times, but we are the cream of the crop. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so while they are trying to intimidate us and make us feel inferior intellectually or compassionately or whatever method of argument they want to use, again, our motive is not based upon the fear of the circumstances, but on the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ has imparted to us. We do not face our problems alone. One of the things that has been taking place is there has been a focus to try and create a social isolation so that, you know, fear and anxiety and problems that have been going on, that those things will pass. I want you to understand that that's not what we need. We don't need to be isolated. We need one another. We need the body of Christ. And so I'm here to let you know today that when you and I, we need to live in wisdom, but we do not need to live in fear. It does not matter whether it's an economic reality. It does not matter if it's a viral enemy that has come to attack. It doesn't matter if it's a hostile force. It doesn't matter where the adversity is coming from. When you are a child of the living God, you face it with the peace, with the calm, and with the superior wisdom that the Father endows upon us from the throne room of heaven. God is so good to us. Look at some of these enemies. He says, deliver me from the sword. Now, there are a couple of different ways in the scripture where God delivered people from the sword. One of those was that he would cause a problem to arise whenever the children of Israel were under attack. The enemy had come and laid siege to the land and cut them off. It would be a problem that would arise in a different area, and the enemy that had come to attack, you know, the people of God had to go and deal with another problem. And so God delivered them through a distraction of the enemy. God can deliver you from a hostile force, a person who's lifted up their sword against you, by supernatural means. And the third thing is he can equip us with a sword that is more powerful than the enemy's sword. And he anoints the people of God in such a way that it doesn't matter if they're outnumbered or not. He gives us the strength, the skill that is necessary to disarm the enemy and render his weapons useless in our life. Okay? So, you know what? When it says here, deliver me from the sword, I don't care which of the methods that he uses. I want him to get all the glory. So if he delivers by distraction, if he empowers me so that I'm able to disarm and destroy the weapons that have gathered against me, or whether he uses supernatural means, I'm going to be delivered and you're going to be delivered. The second thing, as I want to focus on the latter part of verse number 20, it says, deliver me, my precious life, from the power of the dog. I want to focus on that word precious for just a moment, because in our society where people are often looked at as disposable, we have some horrific trends going on in society right now. Terrible things where, you know, people have come out in the last year or so and taken the precious gift of life and treated it with more disrespect and devalued it to the point of nothingness, literally callous towards this precious life that God has given to us. And then they want us to turn right around and vote and agree with them and keep them in power while they continue to demean the quality of life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Why would we ever think that the enemy has a better life to offer us than Jesus? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is the one who takes life. He doesn't give life. He doesn't improve life. Jesus is the only one who has the ability to improve life to treat your life precious and deliver you. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Okay, and so I when I had that encounter with a dog a few years ago, the truth of the matter is I'm bigger. At my house, whenever we've had dogs, it's always been known that I was the alpha dog in the house. Even though they might have sharp teeth, they know not to use those teeth against me. And so you might look at it that way. But if you ever encounter a wild dog, a stray dog, there is something different about their nature and their characteristic. We had a rescue dog at one point in time, and that dog was a phenomenal dog. But when it came time to eat, I'm not sure the dog ever tasted the food. He was so interested in consuming the food because he had been a runaway. He had been found in a different city, and they never could find the owner. And so they gave him away. And that dog was such a lover dog. I mean, just was the sweetest demeanor dog, except for when it came time to eat. And because the dog had been out there with no other source of sustenance, he ate like it was going to be the last time that he ate. And he ate that way every time. He would, you know, if he tasted his food, it just had, you know, it was just a side effect. He wanted to eat. God has the ability to deliver us, our precious life, from power. He said, save me from the lion's mouth. The enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say that he is a roaring lion. It says he goes about like a roaring lion. He begins to mimic the techniques and the sounds of the lion. He has the same purpose of the lion, and that is looking for whom he may devour. But God has the ability to deliver you and I. And Let me go back and just touch on one other thing on that precious life. If you look in verse number 6 of Psalm 22, it says, but I am a worm and no man. From verse 6 to verse 20, David has already come to realize, look, I am not just, you know, a part of the animal creation. I am created in the image of God, and my life is precious. Your life is precious. And God wants to deliver us. One of the other things is from the horns of the wild oxen. Now, you know, I'm a great big fan of adventure, but I'm also a great big fan of wisdom. And so there are certain things that have received a great deal of notoriety. One of those is the running with the bulls. Don't understand that thrill at all. You know, I understand it's got some literary ties and some historical ties, and it's made Pamplona, Spain very popular. But I want to be delivered from the horns. I don't want to put myself in such a way that I could be gored with those things and have them hit a very important artery and have to, you know, be maimed or injured or anything. That's not the thing. God deliver me from those types of situations. Not that I want to put myself in them. In verse number 20, it says, you have answered me. I want to, you know, as things are going around right now, and, you know, I've been troubled for a number of weeks because of the fear-mongering that tends to go on with this coronavirus. And I will tell you, I'm just not going to live in fear of that. It's not the only virus. It's not the only virus that you know, has an effect upon people. There's lots of viruses out there, and there's viruses that have done a whole lot more impact as far as casualties and infecting other people. I'm not going to live in foolishness, but I'm not going to live in fear. So I don't really, I've thought that, you know, the fear mongering was disproportionate to the reality, not minimizing the fact that people have died. I remember making a trip one time, and a relative said that he had a coworker who was 40, who was very, very healthy, and he died of the flu. And I said, died of the flu at 40. There's thousands and thousands of people. And I want to see God heal. Look, I'm not denying the reality of the viruses. I just want you to know that Jesus answers our cry for deliverance. And so I have an appointed time. And when that appointed time comes, I am going to answer his call as he summons me into his presence with the same sort of tenacity that I answered his call into the ministry and into the fellowship with the saints. But until then, if I face the sword, I'm going to cry out and say, God, my life is precious and you're my strength. You're my help. Come help me and come help quick. If I'm battling an illness, I'm going to say, God, I want to thank you that my life is precious, that it has been given irrevocably over to you. And God, I want to thank you that you are my healer, that by your stripes I am healed. Deliver me from the power of this affliction. So if it's the sword, if it's dogs, if it's lions, or if it's the horns of wild oxen, it doesn't matter to me what the attack. The solution is always going to be the same. I'm going to cry out and say, God, deliver me. And he answers our prayer. Verse number 22. Now, I will tell you this. If you don't pray, you know, he still knows what you have need of before we even ask. Okay? But we're supposed to ask. We're supposed to cry out to him and say, God, come. Deliver me. We invite you into this situation. God is an equation changer. When he is added to the equation, it changes the dynamic entirely. He completely neutralizes the enemy and reverses the trend towards defeat and makes it an advancement to victory. Verse number 22 says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. So today you may be a leader. David did not wait for the congregation. He did not wait for the assembly of the people of God to start praising him. He said, no, I'm going to prime the pump. I'm going to start the parade. He said, I'm going to declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I am going to praise you. Men, let me talk to you just a minute. I want you to know that there is nothing trivial about praise and worship. It is not something that we are just that we're supposed to just delegate to other people. You say, "Well, I can't sing." That still doesn't mean that you can't worship. "Well, I don't like the song." You can still worship. You can still worship. All you got to do is close your eyes. If you want to lift your hands, lift your hands. We happen to lift our hands. If you come and watch me, I'm going to be pretty animated when it comes to praising God, because God has delivered me from a lot of situations that were meant to take me out. I am of the mindset that when we get to heaven and God reviews our life, that we're going to see that he delivered us a lot more than what we were aware of that he delivered us from. But I'm not just going to worship in private. I am going to be a worship influence on those around me. They are going to see me as I praise God, because I want them to get in on the process as well. He goes on and he says, "You who fear the Lord, praise him. And you descendants of Jacob, glorify him." Let's be known more for our praise than we are for our complaining. Let's be known more for our praise than we are for our complaining. And let us live our life in such a way that people know that the ultimate authority in our life, the motivating force, is our relationship with the Lord. He is not just a relationship in my life. He is the ultimate relationship in my life. You who fear the Lord, praise him. You descendants of Jacob, glorify him. That means that we have a connection with people who praised him in the past, who glorified him in the past. They might have come from Jacob. Jacob came from a scarred background. He was a deceiver. He was a con artist, if you will, who got into a match that he wasn't quite prepared for with Laban, and he didn't like it when he was on the receiving end. He didn't mind it too much when he was on the giving end. But at one point in time, he has an encounter with God that completely revolutionizes his life, and he ends up being a person of such great influence that Pharaoh invites him in so that Jacob may bless Pharaoh. Let's be people who've been transformed by the glory of God so that we can worship him. And he says, and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. I tell you, if I focus my attention on making sure that I do what pleases God, everything else is going to work out okay. And so I want to encourage you. If you have to put your fingers in your ears to drown out the fear-mongering that tends to go on right now, so that you can say, nope, I'm not going to listen to that. That voice does not carry more weight, more influence than God. Do whatever you have to do to where God is not only worshiped, but clearly seen to all those around you that he is the ultimate authority. And with him as the Lord of your life, you do not have to be a slave to fear. God came to set the captives free. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let's use the gifts he gave us in such a way that people say, you know what? I want what they've got in their life, in my life, so I'm not a slave to fear any longer. God bless you. I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we will see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
All the stories ever told, all the songs the world could hold, not a single one comes close to tell you what's inside my soul. How sweet it is, how sweet it is, how sweet it is to be loved by Jesus. How sweet it is, how sweet. How sweet it is to be loved.